Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In a week where Joe Root passed 10,000 runs and yet is somehow already closing in on 11,000, this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
Yeah, I'm not getting that clearly. Have you got any other angles? Yeah. Yeah. I'm not, I can't even see the ball in that one.
You're here with Dan Lipke and Kat Jones, and that was Rod Tucker, third umpire Rod Tucker, asking for another view of a low catch that was taken by Matty Potts.
Is that because the cameraman showed him just a view of the pavilion or something?
Yeah, maybe,
crowd? I can't even see the ball in that one.
Yep. They cut to a different angle and he couldn't see the ball. It was all a blur. Mm. But I'm a bit confused as, you know, why that he's allowed himself to be hindered by the fact he can't see the ball. Isn't that the basis of the entire LBW thing, guessing where you think the ball is?
That's what ball tracking does,
right? So you should just be able to have a guess, say, I don't know, I reckon Matty Potts caught that one. Let's give him out.
I reckon I'd penalise those fielders and batters who get in the way of the third umpire. Red or yellow card them if they silly enough to get in the way of poor Rod Tucker trying to make a decision.
Yeah, or, you know, penalise Potts for not fielding while wearing, you know, some kind of GoPro on his head so you could see exactly whether the ball's gone into his hand. So,
all
very sloppy from the England side.
Do we need ball tracking technology for tracking the ball through the fielders?
I think we need ball tracking on all the time for everything, yes.
Yep.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
All right, lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket, but we just have time to cover the second test between New England and New Zealand. And they continue on.
So, and basically it was just runs and more runs.
Yeah, lots of runs in this first test. Poor Kane Williamson wasn't scoring any runs though, was he?
No, unless he was doing so in the pavilion. He had COVID, although we have seen him on the balcony a couple of times.
Yeah, so I'm not sure where he thinks he is on the balcony.
Is he isolating in the dressing rooms?
Well, I don't know. Is he only on there when New Zealand are fielding? He's just allowed in there.
Yeah, maybe.
Yes. And it's a bit of a shame there for Williamson that he's has been ruled out with the COVID. It's a little bit suspicious as well. I did notice that the second test of the Ashes, Pat Cummins was also misplaced because of some kind of COVID mishap. So there's something going on with England here where they're just ruling out the opposing captains for the second test.
Secretly some kind of nefarious opposing captain COVID spread.
But I was trying to unravel this mystery, and it did occur to me that England have had another test series in between these two, and that was against the West Indies, and Craig Brathwaite didn't succumb to this fate. And then, you know, I'm just trying to piece together who was in the first two series, who was not in the middle one. And Stuart Broad and Jimmy Anderson become our number one suspects, aren't they?
They are. They do spring to mind.
Yeah, so it's
look, that's definitely the common factor.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they're doing it or how they're doing it, but I think
they're super spreaders.
Super spreaders. They should definitely be suspended for a year, I think.
That's the only thing.
Yeah.
Who's going to suspend them?
Rob Key, probably.
He's the new dude. He needs to do something significant in his first couple of months.
Mm.
Anyway, well, it felt like the first test was really a bowler's test.
Mm.
This is kind of a batter's test, even-handed.
Yeah, lots of runs in this test. Darryl Mitchell got back-to-back centuries, so
good work.
Century in the first test, century in the second one. Tom Blundell, who just missed out on a century in the first test, got one in this test.
That's nice.
Ollie Pope scored one, and of course, as alluded to at the top of the podcast,
inevitably
Joe Root got one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he continues his unbelievable run of form over the past 18 months.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Absolutely incredible, despite the fact that he was wearing that really dodgy-looking T-shirt underneath his kit. Did you see that?
So you were talking about this while you were commentating with Gorilla Cricket. He's not attired the same as everybody else, is
he? No, he's got like a blue band around his neck, around his T-shirt. And why can't they wear a singlet anyway? Why do they have to wear T-shirts that show through their shirts, their playing shirts? Very sloppy.
It is very sloppy. But, I mean, if I were the rest of the England batters, I would be wearing whatever Joe Root's wearing. I wouldn't be trying to get him to conform to their form.
Yeah.
Because for most of the time in the past 18 months, he has been batting with, you know, partners wearing literal clown makeup.
Yes.
So everybody should be following Joe's lead.
There is that. He has scored all of the runs, although this could turn around now that we have someone else, Pope, scoring centuries.
Yeah, Pope's got a century. But it did occur to me that it's very lucky for Australia that Joe Root's had this 18 months of incredible form, and the one time he decided he'd take a short break from his incessant century scoring was during the Ashes. So that was very lucky for Australia in retrospect.
Extremely lucky. It was like he had a bit of a holiday in Australia.
Why not?
Yeah. While he was still in the team, scoring a fair few runs.
Yeah, but no centuries. Yeah. So anyway, it was a little bit embarrassing, I think, in retrospect, that Australia celebrated the series win so hard.
Yes.
Cummins should probably hand the urn back, I reckon.
You reckon you'd go that far?
It's a bit shameful.
Nah.
Yes. Well, what else have been a highlight of this particular test?
Well, indeed, like the first test where everyone seemed to take their catches, in this test they're spilling them.
Yes.
So
we've got
an anti-first test, a reversal of fortune.
Yeah. It's like we've gone into some kind of mirror dimension for this second test.
Yeah. Remember that in the first test, we had, I think, the top five batters dismissed with slip catches and catches behind in both innings.
Yep, all very cheaply as well.
Yeah, but this time they can't catch a thing behind the stumps.
Yeah, there's some kind of talk this is because of the wobble seam. I'm not quite sure why the wobble seam only affects catching at Trent Bridge. But
yeah, why does it wobble more at Trent Bridge?
I'm also unsure why people in the outfield are also being affected by this wobble seam when you assume that someone trying to hit a six has probably knocked the wobble out of
maybe
the seam.
Maybe you're not allowed to bowl a wobble ball at Lords. Maybe it's too traditional.
Oh, yeah. Well, it could be,
If only they could practice catching off a wobble ball at training. I mean, they're just not allowed, are they?
No, not allowed. No, it's against ICC regulations.
Seam up only at training, and then the wobble in the match just throws them.
Yep. Yeah. Yes. But England were very unhappy with the ball, especially in New Zealand's first innings. They were...
Well, they should use a kookaburra.
They definitely should because they weren't at all happy with the Dukes. It went soft and they were convinced on multiple occasions that it had gone out of shape and they'd head over to the umpires and the umpires would pass it through the rings of spherical purity and they'd say, nope, still good. They'd hand it back and England would bowl another ball and someone else would take it up.
Mind you, they were squeezing it through the rings. I mean, when you squeeze it through the rings, it probably maintains its shape briefly.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. So, well, especially when it's so soft, these Dukes balls.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think I did say at one point that men recovering from vasectomies have fewer ball complaints than the England team.
That would be true.
Mm.
And the New Zealand fielders also then carried on about the ball when they were bowling.
Yes.
So it feels like, well, they went, you did this to us, we're going to, you know, go through some rings as well.
Anyway, is there anything more exciting than watching teams complain about the roundness of a ball?
Well, the umpires are fantastic to continue to humour them by putting them through the handcuff rings.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
All right, this episode is sponsored by my other cricket podcast, The Ridiculous Ashes with Alex Bowden.
Is that coming back?
It is coming back. So we're slowly but surely starting to... It's a slow process. So we don't just whip them out once a week like with this one. We ponder and we muse and we debate about...
But you don't wait a year for each subsequent season, do you? You
not
do more
quite.
Than
I
one
I think it's
a
two
year.
A year has
two
been
year.
Our
right.
standard so far.
That's pretty good.
Anyway, if you're very fast, you can get to our Twitter feed where that's at Ridiculous Ashes. That's where we have a poll where people can vote on what series we're going to do next. And it's almost certainly going to be 2013. But if you're fast and you're willing to vote for 1986-7 or 1993... then those Ashes might still make a, you know, a spectacular comeback.
I think I voted for 86, 87.
Did you? Yeah. Well,
it's tougher though when it's beyond the Twitter memory, right?
It is indeed, yes. Anyway, it's a vote for the Ashes debut of your favourite Australian spinner, whether that's Peter Taylor, Shane Warne or Ashton Agar. So choose your favourite spinner. Go back in time to listen to previous episodes and subscribe so you're ready for the new one when it comes out. And you can just search for Ridiculous Ashes in your favourite podcast provider.
Secure them jail time.
You do enough jail time to convince anyone this is no setup.
Cut deals that include some jail time.
No jail time.
He's not going to want to hear that you have endangered our operation just to get your thugs out of a little jail time.
Well, this segment continues to live on. We thought we were done with JL and jail time after he resigned from being Australia coach, but we had a brief glimmer of hope when he almost became, or he was rumoured to be in contention for the England job, but McCullum came in and scuppered all of that.
Yes.
But JL's still in.
Still in the news.
The news. JL has been in the news plenty. Like, there's lots of rumours. Is he spreading all these rumours himself?
I'm not sure. He could be a super spreader of rumours.
Well, Ricky Ponting's been spreading some rumours too.
Ricky Ponting has been. So Ricky Ponting has taken over the Hobart Hurricanes. He's like head of strategy. He's got some wonderful title, head of strategy for the Hobart Hurricanes. Mm. And he's apparently looking at Langer to coach the side. And Matthew Wade, who's the captain of the Hobart Hurricanes, he's very enthusiastic about the idea. Can I give you a quote that...
Is he really enthusiastic?
Well, you tell me. Here's what he said. In terms of the coach, I have no idea who's on Ricky's shortlist. He's obviously mentioned JL. I'm sure him and the management will work through that and we'll find out where it lands.
I think... That's a pretty lame on the enthusiasm scale. I'd say it's about a 2 out of 10.
Yeah, well, what about this follow-up quote from him?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to comment on what might happen or the coaching style that Justin might bring whatever team he ends up coaching next. I can't really dictate that much. I just continue to do what I'm doing, and when the time comes, I'm sure someone will reach out and we'll work it out.
That sounds like management speak to me. Can you read through the lines there on Wade?
Yes. Oh, I'm sure he'd be perfectly happy to reunite with Justin Langer, but he may not get the opportunity to do so because there is another possible job opening for Justin Langer, right?
I thought you were going to say there was someone else in the running for coaching the Hobart Hurricanes.
No, I don't believe so.
Would that be Scott Morrison, who's in the running to coach the Hobart Hurricanes?
It could be, but probably not, although he did have an opportunity because according to the West Australian newspaper, former Australian cricket great Justin Langer has emerged as the number one pick of influential Liberal Party members to help head the embattled party out of the political wilderness. This is the Western Australian State Liberal Party.
That is the most funny and hilarious story ever. It's so fantastic. And already someone has said this isn't happening.
Yeah, Peter Lawler tweeted that Justin Langer says there's, quote, zero basis to this article, quote, no approaches from anyone in the last few years. So okay. Move on.
But interesting.
The last few years suggest there has been approaches previously, right?
And there was a picture of him wearing a very Liberal Party suit. And we do know that he was persuaded several years ago to join the Liberal Party by some of his friends or his neighbours who are...
Oh, ADOS.
Influential, yeah. So I want this to happen. This would be absolutely glorious and would guarantee that the Liberals just never get back in power.
we should also consider the possibility, because it did occur to me that he could try both roles simultaneously. I don't think that's beyond someone of Justin Langer's capabilities. So he could coach the Hobart Hurricanes while he led the Western Australia Liberal Party.
Yeah, right.
And I think he could have members of the Hurricanes run for seats, and then he could have like party meetings at the same time as cricket training.
Wow.
And then they could just fly back and forth as needed.
So Langer could live in Tasmania while somehow justifying leading the Western Australian Liberal Party, or vice versa, live in WA and then somehow coach them remotely.
Yeah, well, you could just fly them over, because they'll have to, you know, meet voters and try and get elected if they're going to run for these various seats.
I guess so. I also love you've assumed that, you know, that his ministers would perpetually be shadow ministers because there's no chance that they'd ever get into actual power or win an election.
I'd like Wade to be like the shadow minister for foreign affairs. I'm not even sure that state governments have ministers for foreign affairs, but I'm pretty sure the Langer government would have one if he went about trying to do it.
Well, if Langer was in Tasmania could have shadow minister for mainland relations.
Mainland relations, yes.
And I think Wade would be good at that.
Wade would be very good at that. He's had a lot of experience on the mainland.
Is Wade a right winger? We'd have to assume so.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure.
That might be
sure.
The only thing he has in common with JL.
Maybe. We'll have to see if we can get an enthusiastic quote from him on the subject.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, there are plenty of other prominent Hobart Hurricanes members who could easily slot into the Western Australian government opposition. Ben McDermott, Darcy Short, Riley Meredith, Scott Boland.
Are they all right wingers?
I have no idea, but I don't think that's going to stop Justin Langer from get in there, give it a go. Doesn't matter which political side you're actually on, get in there. And do you reckon the Western Australian voters would go for this? Or?
Probably not.
No, probably not. But I do like the idea that, you know, maybe instead of some kind of election debate, whenever the state election rolls around, Langer could organise like a T20 match between the Labor Party and the Liberal Party.
Yes, good idea.
It trounces them. I mean, that'd get people fired up. So,
that's right.
Yeah,
that's and that'd get people voting for him if he beat the other party in a cricket match.
Exactly.
Every time the bell rings for a vote, Langer could just say, "Nah, we're not going to vote this time. We're just going to have a match."
Yep. I think that works.
It'd be fantastic.
And of course, the Hurricanes also have Tim David on their books, but I don't think Tim David would be eligible because I think the Western Australian border is still closed because of Tim David fever. Mm. They're worried that he'll bring that in. So no chance there.
Well, let's hope that some of this comes to pass.
Mm. Well, I'm pretty sure this is a long-term plan from Langer to ultimately become Prime Minister and then have the opportunity to select a Prime Minister's 11 and then coach them. And that's his way back into coaching the Australian cricket team.
Incredible. It's a long, long game he's playing there.
Yes.
Can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week, the funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is gonna join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller reward.
This is the Scott Muller Award, not the Scott Moeller Award.
Yeah, that's close enough.
And it is all about underappreciated acts in cricket, including claims that people can't bowl and can't throw. And speaking of people who make these claims, Shane Warne has made it into the Muller Award this week for receiving a posthumous...
I thought you were going to say cameraman Joe had made it in this time.
No, he hasn't. Yeah. He hasn't got the Order of Australia, but Shane Warne has.
Mm.
A posthumous Order of Australia after he has died.
Mm.
And I think that's what we knew that was coming, didn't we?
Yeah, I think so. I think Piers Morgan or somebody was trying to get Boris Johnson to knight him a few months back posthumously. So, yeah, I very much want all my awards pre-humorously.
Yes, that is the best time to get them,
yeah.
Right?
And ideally, but also before I do anything to deserve them because that saves a lot of effort. I did notice that Meg Lenning also got a pre-humous Order of Australia as well.
Oh, fantastic. Yes. We very much approve of that.
So, yes, if she wins 10 zillion World Cups, she gets one of those. I've also got nominated here. I'm not quite, probably both teams, the Prague Barbarians and Vinohrady in the Czech Republic. This is another piece of play in the European Cricket League. And this was a T10 match that was reduced to 3 overs per side.
Good grief.
So it was a little bit manic. 6 overs in total, 5 wickets fell across those 6 overs, 4 of them to run outs. So you can imagine there's some frantic running between the wickets and none more so.
Or some slow running between the wickets.
Well, yes. Yes. Frantic run out attempts, I guess, is probably more accurate because there was a clip that did the rounds, went a little bit viral, of a 3 that was somehow run after a batter advanced down the pitch and missed the ball. The keeper tried to stump him, but the ball somehow fell out of his gloves. And by that stage, the non-striker had made it to the striker's end. Mm. So the striker took off and then the keeper had a wild fling, but then the bowler couldn't handle it. So the non-striker was on his way back for a second run.
Fantastic.
And then by the time the striker got back, there was another fielder fumbling it and throwing it, and it was just all chaos. And somehow they got 3 runs off something that could have been a stumping. And I'm not sure you see that very often.
No, sometimes you see it in indoor cricket, usually just a second run being taken. So it was a very indoor cricket clip, wasn't it?
It was indeed, yeah. So that's the European Cricket League is my nomination there.
Definitely worth watching.
I'll go to Pat Cummins' feed. He quite enjoyed it. He tweeted it out. So.
You ought to find that clip. So the next nomination is Joe Root.
Mm-hmm.
And this time not for making a century, but for having a magic bat.
Mm, yes.
Which should not be allowed.
No, definitely shouldn't. No. It explains a lot.
It does explain a lot. So the footage emerged after the first test, just him standing at the non-striker's end, just nonchalantly standing there with his bat perfectly balanced beside him on its tip. And it was genuinely balanced there. It wasn't just a trick of the moment.
Yep.
And,
no, you could see the bowler just trotting in. There was like 3 seconds and just as the bowler was about to deliver the ball, he just put his hand down and picked it up, balanced there perfectly.
So very, very clever. And that is because he has got a New Balance bat, right? That's the name
yes.
of it.
Yes, so well named.
And it's got must have a very, very a very blunt end.
I also have an alternative theory because I have previously claimed that Joe Root is the devil, the literal devil, because he's got the number 666 on his back.
Yes.
And that's would have been 666, but the ICC only allow two digits. So.
Yeah.
Next nomination, Stuart Broad's pub, the Tap and Run, and it burnt down, which was a little bit sad. This is Harry Gurney as well, also owns his pub.
That's right, yes.
And nobody was hurt by this, but it does sound like Stuart Broad's war against the robots has escalated to a new level. So we'll continue to monitor that closely.
We shall. I wonder how he will retaliate.
Who knows?
With the robots. Okay. So next nomination, Mithali Raj has retired. A fantastic stat that we found from Chris Krishnakumar on Twitter. Oldest player Mithali Raj played with Stephanie Power, who's now 65 years old.
That's crazy.
And played between 1993 and 2005 for the West Indies. And the youngest player that Raj plays with was Frances Jonas, who's now 18 years old and made her debut for New Zealand last year. What a career.
That is amazing. But just having a look at Stephanie Power there, 65 years old now, played between 1993 and 2005. Does that mean she was playing when she was 48?
I think so.
That's very impressive.
That is quite impressive, yeah.
Yes. Anyway, congratulations, Mithali Raj. Mm. And finally, I've got one more. Mitchell Starc, who somehow on the tour of Sri Lanka, somehow managed to cut his bowling finger on his own spikes. And that ruled him out of the T20s and also the ODIs, I think, against Sri Lanka.
This must make the top 10 bizarre injuries list, right?
It's very strange, yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, the embarrassing thing for Starc is he shouldn't be doing anything with his left hand. I think all bowlers should be trained for everyday life. They should do things in their non-dominant hand. So he should be, if he wants to change his spikes and muck about with them, do it with your right hand, Mitch.
Yeah,
if you want to open
a
can of Coke or something, do everything with your right hand.
And doing things with your non-dominant hand also, you know, probably guarantees you'll cut your other
hand. Yeah, exactly. But who cares? That hand's useless to you.
I guess so. I mean, we should have seen this coming. He loves playing with spikes, doesn't he? He was playing with them when he was around in and around the women's camp.
Changing their short spikes for long spikes. Well, you would have thought he's with all his experience with spikes, he'd be more careful around them.
You think he'd be better? And how sharp are spikes? They're not that sharp.
Sharp enough to rule him out of three or five matches or something.
Yeah, incredible. Anyway, I think all the fast bowlers should just have spike monitors who do it for them.
Don't
let them touch their own spikes.
Don't let them touch anything.
Sort it out. Pat.
Their hands are over to you, Pat. All right, what have we? Who are we going to give it to this week? Do you think?
Oh, you have to choose.
All right, I like the look of. I think it's got to be Mitchell Starc. The more I look through all these, I think Mitchell Starc cutting his own hand and ruling himself out of several matches.
I think so.
I think that gets him into the awards.
Yep.
So congratulations on your Muller Award, and that will wrap us up for one this week.
It is a very short podcast this week, and you should be very pleased. We're so considerate of our listeners. We never go 90 minutes. I've got some podcasts that go for 2.5 hours.
I listened to one that was like 5 hours
other day. Yeah. No, really? What was that about?
It was a Survivor podcast.
Oh, good grief. That's way longer than they even spend on the island.
That is, yes, it is.
A bit longer than some of them spend on the island.
Very much so.
Anyway, we get it all done within probably a 30-minute wrap-up. So you've been listening to Dan Lipke and Kat Jones. I'm at CricketBackCat. Dan is at LiebCricket.
Yes, and you can also follow our Twitter feed on at CantBowlThrow, or you can like us on Facebook by searching for CantBowlCantThrow. And we will see you all next week.